News from Radio EcoShock. Feeling down? Here's a quick news item to brighten your day. The H5N1 avian flu has moved another step toward the great pandemic. Three people have died from the bird flu in a suburb of Jakarta, Indonesia, one of the world's biggest megacities. The Indonesian government took a couple of weeks to cough up the facts, and it looks like these flu victims were not all poultry workers. If they got it from other humans, this could be it. Start paying attention. Meanwhile, the Canadian Health Minister, Anne McClelland, has warned Canadians not to fill their refrigerators with the only possible defense to bird flu, an antiviral medicine called Tamiflu. The government wants it all for the elderly and the immune compromised. Fine. Except the 1919 Spanish flu was less dangerous for the elderly, but hunted down and killed teenagers and fit 20-somethings. Anyway, with airline travel, you may have only 2 to 3 days warning that the epidemic has reached your city. The government must get all the medicine distributed within 2 days of infection. After that, the antiviral drug doesn't work. That should all go smoothly. At least we learn to keep our antiviral stash in the fridge. Finally, some useful information leaked out of the government. The American government is responding to the threat of disease under the terrorist model. It is using massive Homeland Security funding to build dual-purpose bioweapons labs in at least 8 locations in the United States. Each lab will experiment with super diseases like Ebola and deadly biological weapons like anthrax. In one sense, we can see the legitimacy of being able to quickly diagnose and respond, with medicine, to a disease outbreak in any part of the country. But these militarized labs have a habit of straying into the development of offensive bioweapons, and there is always a better chance that Americans will die from an accidental release from a biolab than from a terrorist or natural disease attack. Remember, the anthrax from the October 2001 attack was designed and made by the U.S. military facility at Fort Detrick. It did not come from Islamabad or the former Soviet Union. It was made in America. Ethnic communities in Roxbury, the poorer area of Boston, are objecting to a new germ warfare lab being built right in their midst. Imagine the same facility proposed for some affluent part of Boston or New York. But the poor folk are less likely to sue and organize, and they have nothing to bribe government officials. Let's listen to what one Roxbury resident thinks of the idea.
If it leaks over here, we have 5 days of incubation time with some of these diseases, and then a lot of the symptoms are cold-like symptoms. So, I mean, it's airborne. We die. There are no cures.
And in the event that hemorrhagic fever were to leak out, the window of time for successfully avoiding the illness would be too small.
Hemorrhagic fever, you have 30 minutes as a city of Boston to evacuate the area. This is a federal facility. They don't go to the mayor and say, oh, but Mayor Menino, we have an emergency right now. They can't by law. They have to go to the president. President has to go to Homeland Security. Homeland Security then has to go to our governor, the Public Health Commission. We have 30 minutes as a city of Boston to evacuate the area. We're dead.
It's another pathetic example of human insanity that we would even contemplate experimenting with the most deadly diseases right in the middle of a densely populated city. With all the expanse of American territory, why must we put nuclear reactors and germ weapons labs in and around cities? How could anyone from another planet or God understand this mass insanity? It's all part of the frantic reaction to 9/11, and now with the failed attempt at American world empire, everyone smells the fear. Never mind the extremists. Those at the center of power are blustering about the last days. A top-level Chinese general has warned that if America interferes with Taiwan, the Chinese are prepared to hit 100 or 200 American cities with nuclear weapons. According to General Zhu Chenghu, China can afford to lose millions in its own cities in the return nuclear exchange. According to the Financial Times for July 16th, available at ft.com, the general told a press conference of foreign journalists, "We will prepare ourselves for the destruction of all the cities east of Xi'an." Of course, the Americans will have to be prepared that hundreds of cities will be destroyed by the Chinese. Suddenly, it's 1961 all over again, when madmen threaten massive nuclear counter-exchanges and other madmen figure out the logistics of what will be left on the planet. Where is Herman Kahn when you need him? Only the cockroaches benefit from this kind of talk. As many Western consumers dream of summer vacations, the nuclear disease never sleeps. Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo has threatened to take out the Muslim city of Mecca if Muslim terrorists use nuclear weapons against the United States. on WFLA AM radio in Orlando, Florida, on Friday, July 15th, talk show host Pat Campbell asked the Republican congressman how the U.S. would respond if terrorists hit several U.S. cities with nuclear weapons. Tancredo responded, quote, "If this happens in the United States, and we determine that it is the result of extremist fundamentalist Muslims, you know, you could take out their holy sites." Campbell said, "You're talking about bombing Mecca," and Tancredo said, "Yes." From Deep South talk shows to local Fox News, there are persistent fears that Al-Qaeda-style terrorists have smuggled several nuclear weapons into the United States from Mexico across the wide-open border. One caller to the Alex Jones radio show, a member of the self-appointed border guards called the Minutemen, reported how he and others went into Mexico and then simply drove back into Arizona with a pickup truck. In the back was a large container clearly marked nuclear weapon. They drove the bogus nuke deep into the state, into a major city, right up to the courthouse, with no one stopping them. While troops are drained into Iraq, there is no real border control. Thousands of Latin Americans, some say tens of thousands, cross into the United States every 24 hours, and most Americans cannot tell the difference between some Mexicans and some people from the Middle East. Apparently, the only defense is to threaten to blow up much of the Middle East with nuclear weapons. You can bet the targets are already on the map on both sides. Are we living the last of the good life? Gentlemen, you guardians of Islam, of peace and of freedom, shall we poison the planet for 100,000 years? Who will be swept up in the anti-terrorist raids that would follow any big terrorist attack in paranoid America? Apparently, Greenpeace members and the ACLU civil liberties people. Yes, those are the terrorists. Just this May, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit in federal court claiming the FBI is withholding information into its investigations into more than 100 peaceful protest organizations, including the ACLU itself. The FBI has been using big money from the Homeland Security budget to investigate environmental groups, including Greenpeace. Even as the bombs go off in European transport systems, the FBI is firmly fixed in the 1960s J. Edgar Hoover days of COINTEL, now painting the new internal bogeyman of eco-terrorists. It's only coincidence that environmentalists are critical of the administration's supporters, big oil and big chemical companies, not to mention against nuclear weapons and militarism. Various right-wing think tanks, like the National Center for Public Policy Research, and obvious corporate front groups like the Center for Consumer Freedom, have been beating the drum to use the Department of Homeland Security to raid and eliminate environment and peace groups. Senator James Inhofe, a longtime environmental foe, is leading the charge toward the new McCarthyism. Countrymen, patriots, consumer freedom is under threat. We must stop those trying to save the planet. The number of Americans killed so far by eco-terrorists? Zero. Obviously, a priority. Never mind those guys headed off to Pakistan for special schooling. The very day that right-wing militia members allegedly blew up the federal building in Oklahoma, the FBI was busy documenting peaceful environmental groups as the number one domestic terrorist threat. That was their official policy. No one knows how much of the multi-billion-dollar Homeland Security budget has been sidetracked into domestic witch hunts of citizens legitimately protesting and organizing. In fact, anyone critical of the government has become subject of an ongoing FBI spying campaign, from religious groups to human rights advocates. Greenpeace General Counsel Tom Wetterer says these police state tactics have become the norm under the Bush regime and threaten the civil liberties of all Americans. Of course, anyone who opposed the bloody bombing of Iraq with an estimated 20,000 civilian casualties is an immediate suspect for the federal police. Who are the bombers and who the keepers of the peace? This has been news from Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org.